Game 2, Raptors Magic tomorrow night down here at Scotiabank. And speak of the devil, our TSN Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg, joining us around the table.
I feel very out of place here. I've got my Raptors red with ties. So I think somebody needs to give me some blue.
You're not going to get beat up.
I might.
Why? The Bruins aren't red.
They don't care, Josh.
That's okay.
Yeah, you're all good,
you
buddy.
Go out and drink a beer with those people. They'll love you.
I look a little bit out of place, but I'll be fine.
Well, we're all in the same boat, man. We're trying to stay warm down here more than anything else. Yeah. We've been complaining about it all afternoon. But as for the Raptors, you know, game one.
Was game one.
It's game one, isn't it? 2-14 lifetime as a franchise.
It's one of the strangest stats I've ever seen. Like, how do you explain it? It makes no sense. We're talking about nearly two decades of Raptors basketball. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, he has nothing to do with the Vince Carter losses and the Chris Bosh losses and DeMar DeRozan losses. It's a different team, different coaches, different players, yet for some reason, the result is always the same.
What do you think about Orlando's head coach coming out saying Kyle Lowry actually had a strong game? He did this, he did that, he did the other. 0 points. Don't worry about the 0 points, he said. He was really good.
Play him more. No,
is that like reverse...
Psychology
saying go out there and keep doing that, or what the hell is he talking about?
Well, first of all, it's been really fascinating to watch the change of perception with Kyle Lowry and the coaches specifically over the last 5 years. Remember, that was the reason why he didn't get in the All-Star game the first year that he actually deserved it, because coaches were like, well, who is this guy? He's a journeyman point guard. Who cares?
Right.
And now he's got so much respect around the league. I mean, they know that he doesn't need to score to impact the game. And we know, or should know, that he doesn't need to score to impact the game. So I don't think he was as bad as people think that he was, and that the scoreless, the zero on the stat sheet would indicate. That said, it was not a good game. And I don't say that entirely because of the 0 points. There are very few players in the NBA that can impact the game without scoring the way that Lowry can. I mean, Draymond Green comes to mind, a few other guys. But the bigger thing to me is the defense on DJ Augustine.
I thought he got torched.
He was the primary defender on Augustine in the first half when
he play a good game in any capacity? Right. Like, honestly, I've been thinking about this for 48 hours now.
You're getting wound up.
I am, though,
too.
Because I'm hearing people let him off the hook. This doesn't mean that he can't redeem himself tomorrow or that he won't. Kyle Lowry was awful in game one.
I don't think he was awful.
I thought he was awful. You get that kind of time. The ball goes through your hand that many times.
Yep.
You put up a bagel. That's an embarrassment. But DJ Augustine absolutely destroyed him.
That was the
problem. Destroyed him in the second quarter.
In the first half, DJ had 19 of his 25 points, forcing Nurse to switch Danny Green went on him. In the second half. So that's the biggest thing here. Is like, I think he did a pretty good job running the offense. 8 assists, 2 turnovers, all that.
Fred can do that, though. Van Vliet can do that. The truth is, though, I don't think
Van Vliet can run an offense the way that Lowry can. But regardless.
He could Saturday night.
The bottom line is this. If you're the Raptors, you have to win the point guard matchup in this series.
Right.
That is non-negotiable. You have a perennial all-star and the third place finisher in six-man voting last year against two journeyman point guards in DJ Augustine and Michael Carter-Williams, who is one of the worst shooters in the NBA, by the way. He hit 2 threes. Kyle Lowry, 0 threes yesterday. So that's what can't happen. If you're Lowry, you've either got to bring it on the defensive end or you've got to find a way to score. But regardless, you cannot be outscored in that matchup 25-0. So yeah. I think for me, like I said, I've seen Lowry play really well without scoring big. I didn't see that on Saturday, by the way. He can do it, but I think he's got to be more aggressive, especially if the shot's not falling. He's got to find some way to have an offensive impact, put the ball on the floor, get to the rim, find a way to get to the line. It's not easy against Orlando. They don't foul a whole lot, but have some kind of offensive impact on the game, because what happens now is you're Orlando. You're playing him to be passive. You know he's going to be passive.
Absolutely.
If he's not shooting, and that's one less guy you have to worry about. So that's something that just about everyone was talking about at practice today. Nurse, Danny Green, I thought made a great point in that not only do they need him to be aggressive, but they need him to do it quickly in game two. They're really, I would be shocked if they don't go out of their way to try and establish him in the first few minutes of game two, because if nothing else, you have to have the threat of Kyle Lowry being a scorer, even if he's not going to actually be a scorer.
Was there more minutes for Kawhi?
There should be. There should be.
There has to be. You know, that was the biggest storyline of the game for me.
Agreed.
It wasn't Lowry. That's a rookie mistake from a rookie coach.
Yep.
And Nick Nurse, he didn't have an explanation for it. He honestly came out and just said, I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's no excuse for Kawhi Leonard, like, even if he's not playing well, but he was on fire. Like, he was in playoff mode.
This is what
for
you
him
were
to play 33
him for.
Minutes. Exactly.
This is what you were saving him for. This Past is what that. You brought him in for. I mean, he was at the scorer's table for a bit before he checked in the second quarter. In the fourth quarter, wasn't any stoppages of play. But you're right. I mean, that was my reaction, too. It was kind of shrugging, like, okay, well, that buys you an extra. If he gets in when he was supposed to get in, you get an extra 90 seconds of Kawhi Leonard. That's still not even close to enough.
Right.
He, at this point of the season, he should be playing roughly 40 minutes a game.
Absolutely.
I mean, Pascal Siakam played 42. Pascal Siakam is younger, more durable, and all of that. But you're not playing back-to-backs anymore. You don't have to worry about that. In fact, the NBA gifts you 2 days in between games now, which is too much in my opinion, but you've got all that rest. You need to use the guy. This is why you have him here, and especially in a game like that where it's close, it's back and forth, you're in danger of losing home court advantage by dropping the game. You need your best players on the floor. You don't have the depth to get away with it, and you have even less depth than you thought that you were going to have at that very same position because OG Anunoby
exactly.
is out. So
yeah.
Kawhi needs to play 38 to 40 minutes.
Absolutely. In a close game, he should be playing 40 minutes. And, you know, that just got away from Nick Nurse. Now, you know, I know we're coming off as negative because it was a negative afternoon. I'm not overly concerned about this series,
no.
though. I still feel really good about the Raptors.
Although I'm really impressed with Orlando to this point.
Yeah, but I think they played as perfect of a game as they possibly could. You can't take that away from him. Maybe they do it again tomorrow night. You know, maybe. But I think even if they do bring the exact same consistency, you know, they shot the lights out in the fourth quarter from three. They had too many wide open shots, I thought. But they, you know, Augustine did what he was doing down the stretch. Aaron Gordon's found a three-point shot. You know, Vucevic is a guy who can make an impact on a game.
Yep.
But for me, Nick Nurse will not make that same mistake again. Kawhi Leonard won't play 33 minutes. Kyle Lowry's not going to put up 0 points again.
I'll take the over on 0.5 points for Lowry
right.
in game two.
I think they,
what
I think
a benchmark
they respond
he's
well.
Got going for him.
right? Yeah. No, I think, yeah, listen, like they're going to respond. They're going to be better tomorrow night. I feel pretty good about them. But
The biggest thing, I think, we haven't even mentioned this name. I just wrote about him. There's a long list of negatives in that first game. We just mentioned a lot of them. At the top of the very small list of positives is Pascal Siakam, and I actually think that positive is as encouraging as way more encouraging, actually, than the negatives are discouraging, because that was a big question for me going into this playoff series. That was the wild card, is Siakam. He's had such a good year, but one, is it going to translate in the playoffs? He's played in the playoffs before, never as like a prominent, notable guy in the offense. And then two, no team in the NBA defended him better than Orlando this season, Jonathan Isaac, but I thought he was great in game one. He made the adjustments he needed to make. He carried the load on a night where Kawhi didn't play as much as he should have, where Kyle didn't score, I was about to say as much as he should have, where he didn't score at all.
Any point.
At Pascal Siakam carried the load. So I thought that was really encouraging, if for no other reason than they're going to need him to, at worst, be the third guy and maybe even be the second or first guy on some nights if they're going to have a deep playoff.
Yeah, I think that's what was developing over the course of the year, that, you know, this is Kawhi's team, and it should be Kawhi's team. But I think Siakam has leapfrogged Kyle Lowry, you know, in terms
you
of
You
asked
that question. If he's Kawhi's one, who's number two? Probably not a question after game one.
I think you ask Kyle that question, and he tells you Pascal is number two.
Right.
I don't know if
really?
That's. I don't say that as a good thing or a bad thing. I think that's sort of just the understood.
Just the reality.
It's the reality right now.
Yeah, and Kyle set himself up for a different role in the playoffs,
yep.
which, to your point, he doesn't have to go for 30.
No.
He doesn't have to, but there's a middle ground there where he can be more effective. He's got to be a guy who makes the Magic at least think, okay, we can't leave him wide open.
Absolutely.
And I think he'll start hitting more shots. You know, I think that's inevitable at this point. Quickly, the Amir Johnson goofiness with the cell phone. He was inactive over the weekend. I mean, he got fined by the team. I think that's probably the league saying either you're going to fine him or we're going to fine him. But, like, you're not allowed to have a cell phone on the bench.
My initial reaction, and people killed me. People killed me for this on Twitter. My initial reaction was, Amir is an absolute professional. I've covered the guy for many years. He never did anything even slightly unprofessional. Let's wait. Let's wait for context before we judge this guy, because you don't know. You don't know what's going on in the guy's personal life. He says, I guess, that his daughter was sick. Here's where I stand on it now. There is no excuse to have a phone on the bench. You can't do it. I guess in any context,
you're inactive. Go to the back.
Right.
You can go to the locker room.
At the same time, if I'm him,
who cares?
Who cares? Yeah. Like if I'm him, I understand and I acknowledge that's the rule. If I'm inactive, it's not like I'm focused on the game. If I don't have children, you guys do. If my daughter was sick, I'd want to have my phone there. I'd probably do it. If I got caught, I'd apologize and pay the fine. If I get away with it, I get away with it.
I don't think he's too worried about the fine.
And people are freaking out about this. Let's put things in perspective here. It's, I guess, against the rules, but it's a victimless crime.
Right. It's all good.
It is what it is.
Shout out to our guy.
I love Amir.
Love Amir Johnson. Thank you for joining us, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Go get in that crowd. I'll grab some blue before I get out of here.
Go get in that crowd for us.
Yeah.
There's Josh Lumenberg, our TSN Raptors reporter. Game 2 tomorrow. Raptors Magic down here at Scotiabank.